I wonder what it would be like to be born in a manger.
Yeah. Wonder whatever happened to baby Jesus.
He grew up.
What? Wait. So you're saying that the baby Jesus Christmas story is the same as the adult walk on water Jesus?
Yeah. Thanks, honey.
Wow, I just never really put the two concepts together. Wonder what happened to that guy, huh?
He went to the cross.
That's the same guy?
Yeah.
So what you're saying is baby Jesus is the same as cross Jesus?
Yeah. I mean, there's some time in there, right? I mean, he grew up, he taught people, he lived a perfect life. He died on the cross and came back to life, and, you know, now he lives in our hearts.
That's the same guy? The Jesus that lives in our hearts? Okay, I was really... Oh, wow. Okay, I never really put all those guys together, you know?
Only one guy.
I tell you this. Here's an idea. Maybe we stop just making Christmas all just this once a year isolated thing, but we make it an ongoing story about the salvation in our hearts and lives. Up top.
It's the idea.
Darkness too great that your love cannot overtake. There is no stronghold too strong that your love cannot tear down. There is a hope that's alive. I feel it burning on the inside. There is a blood that's overcome. Oh, King of Kings, let your kingdom come.
Let every heart, let every soul praise you, Lord. All of the earth, all of creation, praise your name.
With just one world, the world was formed. You are the Spirit whose light is breaking forth like the dawn from night. You are the one who holds the keys, and every battle is your victory. Yours is the blood that's overcome. O King of Kings, let the kingdom come.
Let every heart, let every soul praise you, Lord. All of the earth, all of creation, praise your name.
Let every heart,
let every soul.
Stronger than the grave. Are you guys excited about that? And your love has overcome the darkest days. And your light is
brother and son, stronger than the grave. And your love will overcome the darkest day.
Hey, church.
Let every heart, let every soul praise you, Lord. All of the earth, all of creation, praise your name. Oh, God, I
children now. You are the thing, God. You are the thing, God.
You answer prayers by faith, and you will answer now. You are the same, God. You are the same, God.
You are providing.
You are providing.
Lord, you provide now.
You are providing.
You are the same, God.
You are the same.
of you tonight need a moment of silence. Have you been busy in the hustle and bustle? And don't we love it? We love the shopping. We love the hustle and bustle. We love the baking. We love the gifts, especially those gifts given to us. We love those things. But isn't it nice when you have that silent moment? When you make time for that silent moment to say, Lord, it's all about you. It's not about the shopping. It's not about the baking. It's not about the gift giving or the gift receiving. It's about you. It's our time to stop during the year and recognize you giving us your son Jesus in a manger, born to carry our sins and to give us deliverance from those things. That's when Christmas means the most to me. It's when I get home and close the doors and I have my Christmas tree lights on and all the noise is stopped and you can just be alone with the Lord. You can just worship the Lord. You know, there's nothing wrong with any of the things that we are pushed to do and encouraged to do. And of course, the Lord loves for us to have a cheerful heart and a giving spirit. But he also loves that we worship him. So tonight, as we sing that chorus again, can we take that quiet moment to say, Lord, thank you. Thank you. Christians like us acknowledge the birth of your son, but that the whole world really acknowledges it, whether they truly acknowledge it in their minds. But Lord, they're celebrating Christmas, Christmas. And Lord, we ask that in our travels this holiday season, that we be able to reach out to that cashier who's wounded and tired and frustrated and needing finances. We ask, Lord, that in our family, that we reach out to that person who's struggling with addictions or needing deliverances. Father, we ask, Lord, that you would just allow us to see the person. Maybe he's on the side of the road begging for money. Maybe he's finding shelter under the eaves of the store that we're shopping at. Or maybe it's just a person that's grieving the loss of a loved one and the void at their table this Christmas. Lord, help us awaken our spirits to minister to them, to remind them the true meaning of Christmas, to remind them why we celebrate. Lord, give us a spirit of joy. And an understanding for others and a discernment. Help us to say what needs to be said. Help us to close our mouths when we don't need to say anything. Thank you, Lord, for giving us your son, Jesus. I say it all the time, but I mean it. Thank you, Lord, for giving us that baby in the manger that died on the cross to save us from our sins, heal us from our infirmities, and give us eternal life. Wow, what more can we say? Lord, we love you. We worship you. Give us those true silent times to magnify you, to worship you. In Jesus' name, amen, amen. We welcome you to the Carpenter Shop International Church. Merry Christmas. You better say that a lot the next 2 days, because pretty soon it'll be Happy New Year. So make sure you're saying it over and over and over again. Merry Christmas, Merry Christmas. It's so good to have you here. And if you're a guest with us, we want to connect with you after the service. So make sure that you seek out Harp and Brian. Can you give us a wave? Or Pastor and myself, we would love to talk with you. And listen, don't leave too quick tonight, because we're having cookies and cider after the service in the hallways with connections. There's tables set up for those that want to sit, and there's tables that want to stand. So anyway, at this time, we're going to take up our tithes and offerings. The buckets are here at the front. We thank you in advance for your faithfulness throughout the year. We thank you for all that you do to make Carpenter Shop International Church a warm and friendly church. We love you, church family.
Well, praise the Lord. Praise God. Come on, give the Lord a hand of praise, would you? Hallelujah. We're going to have another special selection of music before we enter into a time in the Word. So as they're coming back to the platform, we're going to do a song called Mary, Did You Know? Amen. And I want you to be prepared at the close of the service to, as Pastor Joyce said, to fellowship among each other. And Crystal Craig, I've watched her over the years. She's a woman who must be written about in Proverbs 31. She never lets her hands be still. And I'm holding one of 120 or so in the basket on the front row. These are handmade ornaments, and probably some of them were made during the worship service while I was preaching. I have no idea, but I've seen her hands busy at all times. I don't know. It could have been a dish rag that day. I don't know. But anyway, compliments of Crystal. She wanted to make these available to the church body here and say Merry Christmas to you. Come on, would you thank the Lord for that tonight? Praise God. God is good. Mary, did you know that the one you were carrying would change the course of history? We're going to talk about that tonight. So let's just pray and ask God's blessings on the song and on our preaching tonight. Father, in Jesus' name, mighty and strong, we come before you tonight, God, with gratitude in our hearts. Gratitude in our hearts, Lord, for who you are. Gratitude in our hearts, God, for your chosen one, Mary, blessed and highly favored to carry the Savior of the world. Father, may the words of this song and the words of the preaching tonight somehow touch our spirit, our minds, our emotions, and God, somehow bring us to the reality. Sometimes we don't even know all that you have for us. The destiny that you've assigned to our hands, the legacy that we will leave for our families. God, help us tonight to have a revelation moment. In Jesus' name, amen. Hallelujah. Is the Lord. I want to speak a message to you tonight that I've simply entitled Christmas Questions. Christmas Questions. I have the honor of speaking to you tonight on a Friday night. The date, the service that we call our Christmas service. As you know, I expected it, but and some pastors along with me have been the target of social media blast, you know. Target of criticism for not planning to be here on Sunday. Sunday morning, December 25th, I had to successfully pass by some post and just keep on going. Say, don't say anything. I held out pretty good until one pastor said, well, if I was attending a church where the pastor canceled the service on Sunday and changed it to a Friday night, I just think I'd tell everybody they're going to the wrong church. So I said, well, it's time for me to say something. So I entered into a little dialogue, and I think it came to a peaceful resolve. We just agreed to disagree. As if Sunday morning presented a more valued respect to the birth of Christ. I just finally said, do you realize that Jesus' birthday wasn't December 25th? In fact, it would mess the whole of the church up in evangelical Christianity if you said, did you realize that the Sabbath day is not Sunday? Come on. Sabbath, in a biblical sense, somebody say biblical, begins at sundown on Friday. Okay? Sundown on Friday to sundown on Saturday is Sabbath. As a matter of fact, the people of Israel honor and respect that so much that when you go into a hotel, be prepared to wait if you're staying on the 10th floor. Because there's a switch inside the elevator that says Shabbat. And when Sabbath comes, Shabbat, it gets switched over. And then the elevator runs by itself. First floor to second floor, open, close. Second floor to third floor, open, close. Third floor to fourth floor, open, close. Are you getting what I'm saying? Because it is against the law, God's law, to cause an action to take place. A Jew can't even use an ink pen on the Sabbath day. It's a day of rest, a day of worship. Here in America, under the influence of Constantine, come on, how many historians do I have in the building here? How many preachers? We do what we do because of that which was passed down through the church, the Holy Catholic Church. See? And so when you think you are going to set sights on something and make it gospel for you. Turn your attention to Colossians chapter 2. In verse 14, Paul talks about Jesus' death on the cross. He says it canceled all the charges of legal indebtedness. This is what he says here. He says, therefore, because of Christ's death on the cross, do not let anyone judge you by what you eat or what you drink. Or don't let anyone judge you with regard to a religious festival, a new moon celebration, or a Sabbath day. These are a shadow of the things that were to come. The reality, however, is found in Christ. So often we're faced with questions. I had one guy to say to me, he said, don't you realize that it will be 11 more years before Christmas falls on Sunday? I said, yeah, I realize that. And you're going to miss this one? I'm not going to miss it. I'm not going to miss it. I just basically said to my congregation, let's worship on Friday night. Can I tell you, we're closer to a day of worship than they will be on Sunday. Okay? It was Sabbath day. This is actually Sabbath. Somebody turn to your neighbor and say, Shabbat Shalom. Shabbat Shalom. Right, Brian? Shabbat Shalom. Shabbat Shalom. Sabbath day. So we're faced with Christmas questions. What is the Lord worthy of? What does Jesus want from me? How do I decide what I do or what I don't do? Or not only when Christmas falls on a Sunday, but every day of my life, what do I decide as a follower of Christ? You know, I don't know if you realize this or not, but the birth of Jesus Christ actually changed the course of history. It absolutely changed everything about life on this earth. Every single day of your life that you mark a day. Oh, I've got a dental appointment on January 15th. You may be going to Dr. Hall. Got a dental appointment on the 15th. Or I have to take my car in for an oil change on the 17th. Oh, my husband's birthday is the 20th. Every time you mark a day on the calendar, every single day you call out a calendar date is a reminder for you and for me and for everyone that Jesus' birth changed the course of human history. Every time you call out a date, it is a date that is set on a calendar that is a result of his birth. Jesus Christ literally split history between two points, before Christ and Anno Domini. Are you hearing me? Before Christ and Anno Domini. Jesus Christ being born in a little town in Bethlehem actually resulted in the marking every event that would ever show up on what we call today a calendar. It points back to Jesus. It points back to the day when the Word became flesh. It literally drew a line in the sand in the timetables of human history. And today he's asking the same question. Am I worthy of you marking the days? Am I worthy of you marking points of your life because of my birth? John 1:14, the Word became flesh and made his dwelling among us. John bothers to tell us that in the Gospel of John, John 1. And today he's asking us the question, what am I the Lord worthy of? To the wise men, the Magi, he was worth leaving on a long journey for what scholars tell us was months, following a star, bringing valued gifts of gold, frankincense, and myrrh. These guys were balling, guys. Come on. They were balling. They weren't just guys who just had ordinary jobs. They were making some jingle, okay? They were making some money. They bring gold. They bring frankincense. They bring myrrh. So the wise men were moved by that. That was the value for them to do what they needed to do to follow the star. To the more simple men, to the lower end of the economic perspective were the shepherds. But it was worth them doing what? Leaving their flocks. They left their flocks by night to come and worship him. To Mary and Joseph, what is the Lord worthy of? He was worthy of having their reputations marred, ruined. Did you see on Facebook Mary's pregnant? Yeah, Joseph said on Instagram, "Want his baby." Come on, let's bring it into our century. They had their reputations marred, their wedding plans wrecked, and having their status changed from normal Bethlehem citizens to Egyptian refugees. Are y'all following me tonight? To all of these main characters of the Christmas narrative, it was worth it. The Lord was worth every bit of it. And so we face Christmas with the same questions that they did. Is he worthy of my attention? Is he worthy of my passion? Is he worthy of my heart? I mean, we all have tons of questions at Christmas anyway, don't we? When do the kids get out of school? How long are they out? When do they go back? How much time do I get off? Do I get a bonus? How much was my bonus? Honey, did you spend my bonus? We all have a lot of questions. Who gave me a gift? Who gave me this gift? Where did they get it from? Can we take it back? Come on, we all have lots of questions. Is this something we can re-gift? We all have those questions. Who's coming to the house for Christmas? How long are they staying? Is your aunt coming? We have all of these questions. You know, questions. But really, we should be asking greater questions like songwriters of the past. What child is this? Mary, did you know? Those are the questions we should be asking. I'm not going to be before you very long tonight. But I do think it's important to look at a few Christmas questions. The first one of which is, when does God show up? I don't know if you know this or not, but probably one of the most powerful pages in all of the Bible is this one. It has nothing on it except, it says what? The New Testament. But is the splitting point of this Bible. Everything over here is the old covenant. Everything over here on this side is the new covenant. And in between that single page, that single page with just a couple of words on it represents 400 years. It's called the intertestamental period. 400 years when what? When God was silent. 400 years when God hit mute. Okay? 400 long years. One prophet said it like this. He said, there was a famine in the land, not of meat or bread, but a famine of the word of the Lord. It was the country prophet, one of my famous favorite ones, Amos. Amos chapter 8, verse 11. This is what he says. Behold, the days come, saith the Lord, that I will send a famine in the land, not a famine of bread, nor a thirst for water, but of hearing the words of the Lord. God was silent. God didn't speak. God didn't say anything to us for 400 long years. Can I ask you a question? Has God ever gone silent on you? Man, you fasted, you prayed, you did everything. I'm not talking about that spiritual person who prays about everything. Well, the Lord tells me what to wear. The Lord tells me what to eat. Oh, really? I remember a lady telling me one time, I go to the store and God tells me which garments to buy. Okay, I said, he just lets me buy which ones I want. Okay? 2X, 3X, you know, you're limited anyway. Okay? I'm not talking about those spiritual people. Sometimes I want to ask them, why didn't the Lord tell you to mow your grass and wash your car? Are y'all getting what I'm saying now? Come on. God speaks to all of us, and some more than others, but I'm talking about God going silent on you. Have you had those seasons when you lived out the Christmas carol? Silent night, okay? Oh, silent night. Toss, turn, trying to touch God, can't feel a thing. And it's challenging when you hit those seasons when you can't seem to hear from the Lord. You fast, you pray, you worship, you play songs on Apple Music, your playlist has been on repeat, you walk, you cry, you snot, you do a little bit of everything. But you can't hear God. You can't hear God say a thing. When is God going to show up? Can I just tell you, sometimes God does his greatest work in silence. Just because you're not hearing doesn't mean that he's not moving. Because his greatest work sometime is done in the quiet times. Listen, God took a great season, a quiet season of 400 years before he was about to make the greatest announcement of all time. The Old Testament came to a close. The New Testament is ready to make the mark. It's on deck like a baseball batter. And here we go. God has said nothing. God shows up when you get quiet. God shows up when you find yourself in a posture of attention. He has your attention. You're waiting. Your position. The noise is silenced. God's silence, listen to me, is never an indication of his absence. Never an indication of his absence. Just because he's quiet Some of us need to look for God to speak in the silence. Look for God to show up in the silence. Get off social media for a season. Engage with the people that are around you. Hear his voice. He'll make an announcement to your spirit. He will speak to you. When does God show up? God shows up sometimes when I shut up. God shows up sometimes when I position myself and say, here I am, Lord, your servant. Speak to me. Second question, why wrapping paper? You would think that when the God of this world has been silent for 400 years and he sent a famine of his word, that when he does decide to speak, he would just go ahead and just say, let me present to you the Messiah, Jesus Christ. But some of you veteran believers, some of you longtime Christians know that when you go to the Gospel of Matthew, you pass that intertestamental period, the old covenant, the 400 years have passed, and now page 1 of Matthew. You just want to skip down a few verses, 17 to be exact, because you're tired of reading like, you know, so-and-so begat this guy, and so-and-so begat this guy, and so-and-so begat this guy. So you speed on forward, and you finally get to verse 18. This is how the birth of Jesus the Messiah came about. Well, look at Matthew. Back up. Look at Matthew 1, verses 1 and 2. This is the genealogy of Jesus the Messiah, the son of David, the son of Abraham. Abraham was the father of Isaac. Isaac was the father of Jacob. Jacob the father of Judah and his brothers. Why don't you just, after 400 years of silence, say, here he is? Because wrapping paper is important. How many of you have a wife like mine that are so into how the gift looks? Okay. I was trying to help. Come on, raise your hands, guys. I mean, she's into that. I mean, today she wrapped a cardboard box with wrapping paper that looks just like cardboard. Okay. I mean, they designed it that way. It looks like, y'all know what I'm talking about? It's brown. You've seen it. It looks like a paper bag of old days. She wrapped it, but then it was important to get the right bow on it, position it just right, have a few little berries in there, and then a fancy little tag with some squiggly little writing on there saying to and from. The wrapping was important. Okay? I was trying to help her the other night, and I thought I was doing a pretty good job. And I folded, and I said, what? I mean, she cut the paper. It's the right side. Yeah, but you have to pull it to the line, fold it under, crease it perfectly, and then you fold the top down and the sides. And I said, well, I'm still getting it wrapped. Yeah, but it doesn't have the same effect. Okay. Wrapping is important. Amen. Matching tags, ribbon, raffia, the whole thing. Why? Because wrapping matters. Even though the gift, somebody say the gift, is the most important thing. Listen, don't ever think that you have a gift so good that it doesn't need to be wrapped. Have you ever given a gift? Look, I was going to wrap this, but it's kind of big, okay? I mean, I got one of those yesterday. My son gave me a Pit Boss smoker for Christmas. Okay, come on now. Pit Boss smoker. No wrapping on it. Didn't bother me. Because I stepped to that thing. I said, yeah, I need another title. Pit Boss. Okay? Pit Boss. You know, some things you may not need to wrap, but let me tell you something. Wrapping is important. Can I just tell you this? The wrapping was the lineage, the list of names before Jesus' name ever came up. That lineage, that family tree. It's the resume for Jewish people. Matthew's writing to who? He's writing to a Jewish audience. And so he knows the importance of the names. And the reality is, as I look through those names, I look through them today. You look through those names and you see the names of 5 women. And I looked and I started looking at some of those women's names. I thought, wow. Rahab, woo. Rahab. Tamar, oh, wow, what a history. This is Jesus' family. Can I just tell you, Jesus' family was jacked up, y'all. It was jacked up. But can I just tell you something? Look at your family. Some of your families are jacked up, y'all. Y'all got some mess in your family. Come on. You know you have. So, come on, somebody be honest and say, man, my family just gets on my nerves. Come on, raise your hand. They're not here. They can't see. They're looking at live stream. The only they can see is me. They can't see you. If you want to, just for a second, turn around and look at the camera and go, you, that's who I'm talking about, you. Okay. Some of y'all's families are messed up. But guess what? It's the wrapping paper of your life. Just because your uncle was, or just because your daddy was, doesn't mean you have to be. Come on now. There's something called breaking generational curses, drawing a line in the sand, saying no more. You don't have to be what they were, all right? You don't have to be what they were. But you do need to remember they're part of your wrapping paper. If you look closely, you'll see some of the names of some folk who were a little messed up in Jesus' line. That long list of names before you get to Jesus. The gift is what matters. We received the gift of Jesus. Jesus is the gift, but the wrapping matters too. This is the beauty of the gospel. God can use anybody. Why the long list of names before Jesus? Why the wrapping paper, Pastor? Because Jesus wants you to know that your family tree, hear me, does not deter your destiny. Come on, somebody needs to hear that. Your family tree does not deter your destiny and the plans that God has for you. When does God show up? When you get silent. Why the wrapping paper? Because your line is important. Thirdly, what does God want? What does God want? It's quite simple. God wants you. God wants you. Man, it would be such a travesty. Such a travesty to show up at a service like this. A service that comes to the pinnacle of a calendar year, celebrating the birth of our Lord and our Savior, Jesus Christ, the Messiah, and to feel like you don't have some personal business to do with the Lord. Like there's not an issue between you and God that you need to work through. Because you know what I discovered a long time ago? I'm speaking from a leader perspective now. It is possible. It is possible to be used by God and have some issues going on in your life. Did you hear what I said? I said, it is possible to be used by God and have a few issues that God needs to fix. People aren't perfect. They're not. Man, I've been here 30 years. There's been a time or two in 30 years that when I rolled up into the parking lot and slid into that pastor parks here, and I just had some words with my wife. Anybody else done that? Come on, let's be honest. Anybody had an argument in the parking lot before you came in and started speaking in tongues? Come on. Come on. Shanda Honda Mama, come on. Anybody ever had words with your spouse before you ever lifted your voice in the first praise and worship song? And in that moment, God had to break you down. And say, you know what, man, it's not about you. Not about you. What does God want? God wants you to know that you can go through all of the shenanigans, and the reality of it at the end of the day is He always wants more of you. He always wants you to have more of Him. Come on, God has shown us in the Bible that He can use anybody. He can even use a donkey. But don't think that just because he's using you, that's some sort of measure to the world for your level of intimacy with God. Let me say that one more time. Don't think that just because God is using you, that that's some gauge for the world to see your level of intimacy with him. Because we all need to be people who are flexible and pliable and willing and ready to have the Lord say to us, come closer. Now, scratching my head, and I'm thinking about this the last couple of days, I'm thinking that's why we have these words in the Bible that in the last days phenomenon of people crying out, didn't I lay hands on the sick and see them recover? Didn't I cast out demons in your name? And the Lord looks at them, and what does he say? Depart from me, you worker of iniquity. I don't know you. So do not mistake busyness for intimacy with God. What is it that Jesus wants this holiday season? He wants you. When does God show up? When it's silent time. Why does wrapping paper matter? Because your story includes some paper that may not look very good. What does God want? The answer is always the same. God wants you. It doesn't matter if you've been in this church for 20 years or tonight is your first visit. God wants you. For God so loved the world that he gave his one and only Son, that whoever believes in him should not perish but have everlasting life. I love this part. For God sent not his Son into the world to condemn the world, but to save the world through him. You have a element in your hand. If you do not, please raise your hand. There's some moving around the congregation here. It seems like, you know, some people say, well, why are we doing communion, man? We're celebrating the birth of Jesus. You know what? You can't separate birth from death to save your life. You just can't. For this cause, he was born. Pastor Joy said earlier, so that he could die for the sins of the world. It's just a good thing to take inventory, you know? It's just a good thing to take inventory. The scripture says it like this, let a man do what? Examine himself. So let the Holy Spirit right now just lay the microscope of his love upon your heart. Lord, wash me clean. Cleanse me with your blood. Forgive me, Lord. Forgive me of being me. My attitude, my temperament. Forgive me. Draw me closer to you. This is my prayer. The scripture says that on the same night he was betrayed, he took bread. And when he had given thanks for it, thank you, Father, for the flesh of Jesus Christ, the body of Jesus Christ, that willingly died on a cruel cross. And tonight we roll the tape way forward from Bethlehem's starry night to Calvary's cruel cross. And we say, thank you, Lord, for your body that was wounded for us. You may partake of the bread. Thank you. peel that next layer back and you have juice in your hand. A representation for the church of the blood of Jesus Christ. He said in Hebrews 9:22, "For without the shedding of blood, there is no forgiveness." Go back to the Garden of Eden. Only one rule. You know, you can relate to this as parents. Look, all I want you to do is keep your room clean. Just keep your room clean. Mom, can I go to the movie with John? Is your room clean? They drop their head. Only one rule. Keep your room clean. Only one rule in Genesis. The whole garden is yours. Jesse Duplantis said it well. Adam was crazy. Naked in the Garden of Eden, no such thing as a lawnmower. He just had to take care of the garden. That's all. And he messed up. And because he messed up, guess what? You messed up. You're a descendant. You're a descendant. And Adam comes, God sees Adam in the garden in the cool of the day. And he comes in there and he says, "Where are you?" Can I just tell you, he was not asking him a thing about geographics. They call it the global positioning system, GPS. I'm telling you, God knew exactly where Adam was. He knew he was over there in the bushes. He knows where you are. The hairs on your head are numbered. Not a sparrow falls to the ground without his awareness. He wasn't asking him about location. He was asking him about spiritual position. Where are you with the rule that I gave you? Where are you in light of the only rule that I gave you? Don't eat of that tree. Where are you, Wallace, in light of my revelation? Genesis to Revelation, in light of my word. Where do you stand in light of my word? And the Holy Spirit will speak to our hearts tonight and tell us by means of gentle conviction, you need to sharpen this up. You need to lay that down. You need to watch your mouth. God is so capable of speaking to us. And thank you that he does. And know this, that he's already died for every sin you ever committed and even the ones you haven't even done yet. It is finished. Thank you, Lord, for a fresh encounter with the revelation of the meaning of your blood. It washes sins away. In Jesus' name, you may partake of the juice. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. Would you stand with me? Thank you, Lord. Come on, just worship him for a moment. Just worship him for a moment. If you're here tonight and you need someone to just agree with you in prayer, you know, sometimes when we face holidays, There's a reality that if we're going through a depressing time, it seems to be heightened. If we're struggling, that intensity seems to be heightened. If we're depressed, the depression seems to be deeper. So if you're here tonight and you just need someone to pray with you, to agree with you in prayer for anything, maybe you got a family member you're concerned about. Maybe you got a son or a daughter that you don't really know their future. It looks bleak. And you just need somebody to pray with you. Would you step out from where you are right now and just come and stand in his presence for a moment? Come on, nobody's going to eat your cookie. Nobody's going to eat your cookie. There's one out there with your name on it. Anyone at all? Praise God. Praise God. Let me have someone minister to this lady right here. Come on. Thank you, Lord. Just need somebody to pray with me. Just need somebody to believe with me. Praise God. Hallelujah. Father, we bless you tonight. We thank you for your goodness and your mercy. Thank you, Lord, for your tremendous love that leads us in paths of righteousness for your name's sake. Thank you for the Holy Spirit that gently tugs at our hearts and pulls us to places of repentance. Thank you for your Holy Spirit that fills us, empowers us, enables us, equips us, God, to do the work of the ministry that you've assigned to our hands. In Jesus' name. In Jesus' name. Hallelujah. Father, I pray for every family represented here tonight. God, as we move into a place of fellowship, we bless our refreshment time. We pray, God, that the Spirit of Christ would just be prevalent in the air, in the atmosphere, in the hallways. As we share one with another, would you give us a sense of your joy, your peace, your goodwill to us? In Jesus' strong name. Amen. Amen. Come on, put your hands together for the Lord tonight, would you? Merry Christmas. Amen. Merry Christmas. Crystal, would you kindly take that basket there to the foyer? Don't forget your free handmade. Amen. Don't forget your free ornament. You'll remember Christmas 22. Amen. Place them out there. Get you some cookies and some hot cider. And God bless you all.